Welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a comedian and podcaster who has been here before and told one of my all-time favorite dating stories. Having moved from Ireland to New York, you feel like the closest we have to an international correspondent. So please welcome back Katie Boyle.
Oh, thanks. I feel like I should be like, over here, you know, the way they do in English.
Yeah, with the wind in the background.
Oh. My American cat just attacked me. I think he was like, don't you even think about insulting my people. I was going to try to do like an American impression or something, you know, on the news. But anyway, I just got a cat, and every time I do a podcast for the last 3 weeks, he has decided that that is the time when he will try to jump on me or attack me. So,
oh, for real. I'm glad it's not just me. Milan gets it because she can sense like the energy strain. She knows I'm talking to someone, but she can't work out who. And so she gets really excited and runs around and just attention seeks. Her favorite thing is she's not allowed to go up on the kitchen surfaces behind me. And so I'll just be in my Zoom and I'll just see her like jump up in the back of my vision.
Funny. Yes, I had my friend ask me for help with a self-tape. And again, once the cameras go up for anything, the cat has to like play with it. And we're like mid self-tape and I could see the cat sneaking in out of the corner of my eye. And I was like trying to like read the lines, but not let my friend be distracted by the cat about to attack him. Now, thankfully, he just waited until the end. But yeah, they're a lot of fun, cats. I'm glad I got one.
Oh, I love them so much. I mean, this is a thing. That's their true victory, that they get away with all this stuff. And we're like, oh, these are cute stories and not ways in which this animal that I do everything for constantly tries to disrespect me.
It's so true. My friend was just on my podcast saying it's like an abusive relationship because he's like, oh, these scratches. No, that's just playing. The cat is like attacking him. I call my cat Madra, which is the Irish for dog, which is like fun because I figured then when Irish people, like they usually laugh when, you know, they're here, like my Irish friends. And then Americans are just like, that's a horrible name. Why would you name your cat that? And then I explain, they're like, oh, that's cute. But my friend was here and he's from the north. And I was like, oh, this is Madra. And then he didn't laugh. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I gave him a cup of tea, but it said like, it's my long cup of tea. And so it's like, I like a tea. And He just kind of was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, do you know Irish? And like, even like, I know only basic Irish. And then he was like, Katie, I went to a Protestant school. They didn't teach me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was like shaming you this whole time. I just had no idea that they didn't like learn crappy Irish like us. And then I was like, well, we only learn basic, so it's fine. And I was like, mattress dog. And he was like, oh, well, that's hilarious. But I had no clue what you were saying to me.
Oh, bless him. No, but that is both the nice thing and the sad thing, that everyone in Ireland is kind of mortified that we don't speak the language better. So that's pretty universal. If you speak it, it doesn't mean you feel comfortable with your ability anyway.
Yeah, I was like to him, these are just like the two basic sentences that I know. And he was like, I was just playing along because I didn't have a clue what this was.
Bless him. And then you're making that face of like, laugh. Like when you show somebody a funny video and you're just staring at them intensely.
Yeah. Because it is funny, like as soon as you're over here and someone who's Irish comes over, it's like your brother and sister or sister and like you're automatically. So yeah, so you'll be like talking about stuff as home as if you're from the same town. And then you forget like Ireland's a big place and you know, they don't know your family or whatever. You just automatically think because it's a different country. It's so funny how things happen like that where you just click straight away.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Americans around you all do the same. They'll just assume you're related.
Yeah. All the time. Oh my God. Yeah. You know what? You joke about that. Like they all think we know people, but then they will be like, do you know Siobhan from Lucan? And you're like, actually, I do. Yeah, that's a bit embarrassing. Oh.
No, for real. It's a small country, really. I've been smug recently because it turned out the person that my flatmate has started seeing, I knew this girl's sister before Molly met her. So I knew the family already. And I've been so smug about it. But it's like, of course I did. Of course somebody was going to know her.
That's what's lovely about dating in Ireland. You know, it's like you have a connection. Usually there's some sort of something. Whereas here it is a little scary because there's no connection and people can tell you all the fibs in the world and have a family in New Jersey and they could be seeing you in Astoria. I just heard a story. This blew my mind. And it's like someone with a public profile. And it's crazy how I heard about it. So it's fine to say it here because I feel like if there's any American-based listeners, just ignore this part. Because if someone would have put, like, it's a public profile, so I would know I would have oddly worked with them. And then my friend, whose sister's friend, so this is out of the it's like they don't work in the, had been seeing this person for years, thought he was in an open relationship. And then the partner messaged her being like, I heard about this relationship. We are not in an open relationship. You know, he's been cheating on me for years. I only heard that because of 2 degrees of connection, but it's not like you, yeah. So usually in New York, you can get away with this stuff. And I'm sure this guy thought he could get away with it because it's so big. He had like a family in one part and was making up excuses. But I think that'd be much harder in Ireland to get away with, even though he did get eventually caught, but it was like years later. But I think in Ireland, you'd probably get caught after a few months because they'd be like, I saw him in Mayo at the petrol station. Like, what's your fella doing over there? Do you know?
Oh, immediately. And I think a lot of the time people here don't even try and hide it. So it's a great vetting system. I love it. So talking about people that you're hopefully not related to, you have a dating story in mind.
Oh, yeah. See, I have. Like, it's so funny. I really, like, moved on from that part of my life. And I'm in such a happy relationship. So I forgot.
And then
that
you keep coming on this podcast and me dragging you back to it.
And I think I remember that time there were so many dating stories to go through because I really did. I really was, I feel, put through the ringer with dating over here. And I think, you know, people have blamed dating apps, but it was even people who just, you know, met me in real life. I think there's something about my vibe or something that it's like, I'm very gullible too, but I'm trying to think. I remember going on this one date and I've had so many dates. I had one date where a guy, when I went to the bathroom, did loads of shots. And then when I came back, was trying to split the bill. I was like, no, this is mental. I like saw the bill and I was like, there's no way. And then I saw the shots on it. So like, I was like, oh, so you did that while I was in the loo. Like that's
what
a madness. But there was one date that I went on. And I don't know how funny this is, but he was like way older than me. Maybe like, okay, this is one of those catfish ones. This was a Tinder one. So this is back when I was using Tinder. I just moved over and he looked so handsome in his picture. And when he came, he still would have been handsome, except for he was 10 years older than that picture. So he's still handsome, but that's not really what I saw. Hmm. And at the time I was like, still like that Irishy kind of. And I know Irish people are going like, what does that mean? But I mean like that over, we are toxic hospitality. We like, as my boyfriend said, because we are friendly and we don't want to be rude. And I think now I have a bit more of the American where I remember going on a date a few years later and cutting it off after 15 minutes, which I would have never done back home. And I would have never done when I first moved over because I feel like really rude.
Yeah, there can be an over accommodatingness of like having to mind everyone else's feelings.
Yeah, that's awful. That's the worst. I love that. I've learned here to just be like, no, good luck. See you later. This is not worth my time or energy. But he was telling me, I wasn't drinking because I was on antibiotics. And he kept insisting that I needed to have a drink. And it's so funny because my friend Tori Piskin has a whole story about this, which she's going to be opening for me in Ireland. But it's about an Irish guy who couldn't understand why she would not want to drink on antibiotics. But the same thing happened to me. And I was like, eventually I ended up having one drink because again, I was kind of like, it's just easier than to argue. And I hate people like that who like wear you down. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, whatever, I'll just have one. It'll be fine. And I'll sip on it. And then he did this whole big story about how he was at a bar with a woman. Oh, sorry. I'm like reliving my trauma now. I had spilled a beer on me at work that day. And I made a joke about how like, oh, if I smell like beer or if any flies come, it's because I spilled a beer on me at work. And he said, oh, that reminds me. And then went into a story about how, which had nothing to do with beer spilling or nothing to do with flies, how he was at a bar and some woman was talking to him and they kind of like were flirting and then she grabbed him and pulled him in. But then he went to grab me to pull me in to kiss me and part of the story. But I got such a fright. I nearly knocked over my drink and I kind of like hit him away. And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I was just trying to like, you know, show you, like get you into the story. And I was like, A, I'm not a prop. And B, it was just a thing, I guess, to like kiss me because I guess the story was like she had a fight with him at the bar and then she slapped him and then she grabbed him in for a kiss, but then he grabbed me in and I'm like, I'm not ready for a kiss. I got such a fright. And then afterwards he was just so much. And he kept like, and then the worst part was I was again kind of young and this accommodating that I was like, okay, I will just kiss him and just never call him again, which now I'm thankfully have learned from the Americans where you don't have to kiss them if you don't want to. So I did eventually kiss him and say goodbye. But I remember walking away being like, that was like such a move. And I'm sure that worked on so many other women who are so much more smoother and don't like knock over their drink while he's, but like, I've never gone from listening a story to being all of a sudden a part of the story. Do you know? It was very strange.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's absolutely a bit that he does, especially, which explains why it was completely unrelated to what you told him. He was like, okay, and now my generic time to kiss you story. Part of me is hoping that it evolves, that the next woman he goes on a date with, he's going to tell the story about you and then see what happens when it gets to your bit again.
So then the next part of the story will be like, he'll be like, and then I walked her out of the bar and then she ordered a taxi and I was pestering her so much, so she kissed me. But it's a lot of those dates were in New York City. I wonder, I don't think it's like this in Ireland. I also just don't think people are as emotional back home. So it's harder for them to be like this, to be, I guess, maybe spinning a tail. Like, I could see that. But like a lot of the dates I went on were like deep, telling their deep emotional problems like straight away, which I just think in Ireland, we're on the other side where we don't even know what that is, unfortunately. So it'd be great if we could. But whereas here, the men have learned to weaponize it. And so you'll have these guys who like try to trauma bond or, you know, try to be like, you can fix me. And so it's a lot. But I remember, so you kind of go from that. Okay. So you have all these, like, I remember a guy telling me about how, like, first date, about how he had a terminal illness at one stage. This is first date, and that his sister had suicide, which is obviously awful, awful thing. And then was like something else on the, and it, but it was just, oh, just like how much he hates his life. But it was just so much. I hadn't even drank my first beer to like listen to that. And then I'm a bigger Egypt because with that guy, that was so weird with that guy because I felt so bad for him that we did hang out. We did go home. I didn't have sex with him because I was like, I don't want to have sex with this guy. But I don't know. I felt like I just wanted to be nice to him. And I kind of had known him a little bit before this, let's say. So he wasn't a total stranger, but it was really a lot for a first date. And then he just came back and I was like, well, we're not going to have sex. But he went to sleep on my bed and he didn't wake up the next day. So he wasn't waking up at like 12 p.m. I went and like got groceries. I came back and he still wasn't waking up. He was so by 5 p.m. when I had to go to work, he was still asleep in my bed. And I had like, I lived with a couple of guys. So I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Is he just going to stay? So then I was like, you have to go home.
And hold on, like, completely like out of it? Did he wake up at any point?
Passed out. Like he would wake up sometimes just like, I'm so tired, and then go back to sleep. This is till 5 p.m. and I've gone out calling and lived a life. So then eventually at like at 5, I was like, I have to go to work, you have to leave. And he's like looking for his stuff and he like made the bed and then he leaves with me and I'm like, okay, that's grand. And then I got a Facebook, like he didn't even have my phone number. I got a Facebook message going, hey, I can't find my keys. I left them at yours. And I'm like, well, I'm working till 4 and you're just going to have to figure that out. You know, and so like then the next day I had to go bring him his keys somewhere. But like my friends were like, does he just like not have a home? Did he just want to like stay there? Like, cause who forgets their keys, especially after he'd made the bed? And then the keys were like right on the bed when I went back. So it was like just the most bizarre situation. I don't know if that was someone just looking to like, what's that word when you just stay in a place? Oh, squat. I think he was just trying to squat in my room or something.
That's so wild. And yeah, the fact that they were right on the bed says that was planned to me, that he was leaving them somewhere where you'd obviously find them, because then it would backfire. If he left them on purpose and then you couldn't find them, then what the fuck does he do?
Yeah. So like, I mean, and when I tell these stories, especially last Christian story, I'm like, but I think a lot of women experience this in New York City. It's just a lot of sad people and they don't have therapy. And men use it a bit as a way to connect instead of just being like, so how's your day? Honestly, I had so many stories like this that I was like, I'd love talking about the weather after this. But then I did have a date where a guy was so boring that he asked me my favorite color. And I was like, okay, well, this has gone too far. Also, I don't know. I don't know what my favorite color is. Don't ask me these hard-hitting questions. So yeah, I think in New York, it's just, you have so much choice. It's really easy to meet like And then people come here to live their dreams, which is like the saddest thing ever when you think about it. Like if you live it, great, but it's really hard. And their dreams are usually so bloody out of this world. Like this person, this specific person who was obviously very sad, gone through a lot of health issues and a trauma with their sister. Totally understand that. Again, don't dump that on someone first date. That's something you reveal as you go along. But
let it be a surprise further down the line.
Yeah. And usually you want to like, I'm not like, I'm hiding stuff about like my mentally traumatizing childhood or whatever. I keep that little coming out in sprinkles as you go along. Yeah, they're just like, this person was actually kind of successful in their field, but to them, that's not good enough. So that's, I think with New York, it's a lot of people who don't feel happy unless they're going to be famous. It attracts a lot of like narcissism or delusions of grandeur. So then you meet a lot of that when you're dating as well. And then a lot of like love bombing and a lot of like, I've dated so many guys who like in the first week were like, I've never met anybody like you and like buying me presents. But then like 2 weeks later, would just ghost you. And you're like, well, that's, no, if you've never met anyone like me, that's a bit surprising that but it's all just bullshit, you know? So you're just like, going in dating in New York City is like going into the war. you have to be like prepared, a war of emotional terrorism, because you have to be like, okay, that's bullshit. And that guy who kept asking me my favorite color, like basic crappy questions like that, where it was like, we're not vibing. When I stopped going on a date with him, he texted me being like, I don't understand. We had such a great time. I even asked you like what your favorite color was. And I was like, that's like, he actually said that all day. He kept calling me Kaylee and my name's Katie. So it's like, you hardly enjoyed it that much that you couldn't even get my name right.
Oh,
I'm surprised you're even able to text me. He probably had me saved under as Kaylee, honestly.
That's so wild. I love it. I think you're spot on. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, in an environment like New York where it's so tough, and the gap between where you're starting and what your dreams are is so wide. I think a lot of the time, the offshoot of that can be you put too much on a relationship. You're like, oh, I'm feeling really shit about everything. This woman is going to sort that out for me, you know? And then you combine that with like the intensity you're talking about of like, if you're not vibing with somebody, you cut them off sooner than you might hear. Well, then maybe some people turn that into the love bombing. They're throwing all your trauma out there and being like, well, I need to see if she can handle it.
No, you're right. And I think too, for men, you know, like women usually have a support system. Like, I mean, women are brought up to understand their emotions a bit more. Talk about them with their girlfriends. You know, we all have a WhatsApp group where we talk about dating or friends or whatever what's going on in our life. Most girls listening to this have a WhatsApp group where at some point their friends are sending in like 6-7 voice messages just about what's going on in their life. And I don't think men have that. And I don't think men have, and now I'm talking about like straight heterosexual wannabe masculine men. Whereas like my boyfriend's not like that. You know, he has like great male friendships where they talk about stuff. And he's also younger and American. He's like 5 years younger than me. But I do think that's the thing. You go on these dates and these men here are like, oh, a woman, let me just say all my stuff to them. And women get it and women understand. And they haven't had that outlet before, which is like, A, goes to therapy. B, men, start talking to men about your stuff. It's fine. Or C, you know, you can also have strong female friendships. I have a lot of guys who are definitely friends with women because they can finally talk about their stuff. But yeah, I just think there needs to be a world where men can also talk about their emotional stuff and not feel like they're being like, oh, start, like, because then they go on a date and they just word vomit and you're like, what I just ordered the glass of wine.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And you know, I know a lot of that firsthand. I'm reminded of a date I once went on where this guy was telling me about his ex for the entire date, and because he felt so comfortable opening up to me, and I'm a good listener, it's a big part of my job, whatever, whatever, he thought it was going really well. And at one point was like, I can't believe that you're like taking all this on and you're being such a good listener. How do you do it? And his ex sounded like pure trash. And they were together for all of a month. And I'm happy to listen to it, but it's also all I've got here is a big red flag. And he thought it was going brilliantly. It's crazy. But it also is quite sad where you're like, have we got to this place?
Yeah, no, it's like forced quick intimacy or something. Also as well, big red flag talking about your ex on the first date, because maybe the person is traumatized from them. But I'm usually like, as soon as a guy talks about an ex on a first date, I always think two sides. Because most guys who have had, or most people who have had issues with their exes, and it's been like a traumatic thing, it usually comes out later, do you know? And even then, most reasonable people don't want to look bad talking about an ex, even if it's the most terrible ex. It's like they're setting up already, like, oh, I've been accused of this, but I'm not that. Or, do you know, I don't know. That always gives me like gut vibes.
And I think there can be that impulse. We know it's an inappropriate conversation, and yet there can be that impulse in us to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to be like that person. Like we can sort of latch onto it. And in fact, there's usually, like you say, not only red flags, but I tend to find these days I can kind of intuit a lot about it. So they can tell me their spin of it. And I can often tell, okay, but why did they really break up with you? And that's just adding to the red flags.
Absolutely. No, I did date a guy who never stopped talking about his ex. Oh my God, it was nonstop. It was so funny about it. We dated for a few months, and he like eventually was like, we could be exclusive because we're spending so much time together, but didn't want to be in a relationship. He said, I don't want to hurt you like the way I hurt my ex. And he was always talking about her nonstop. I used to always, when I would do like a character, I would say my name is Michelle. And one night we were like messing about, and he was like really drunk, and he was like, who are you? Or something. I don't know how it got. And I was like, oh, I'm Michelle, because I love that name from the Beatles song. And he was like, what? I was like, what? Why is this? And he took such a turn, and he was like, why did you say that name? And I was like, I don't know. It's a name I always, it's like a fake name. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, if my alter ego would be Michelle. He was like so upset. And then I was like, what is going on? He was like, that's my ex's name. And I was like, well, you've never said her name to me. I mean, you talk about her nonstop, but you've never actually said her name. How would I know her name? And then he was like, oh, that's a good point. But like, what are the chances? What are the fucking chances? It was like, it felt like as well, like the universe was like, Katie, if this isn't, and like, even the fact that he was like, he never said her name. You'd just always say my ex, but like to have such a visceral reaction. Mm. I'm like, he was clearly still crazy about her.
So good. Yeah, also like that even there, sus. How would he never mention her name? That's strange to me. Unless he was like, oh, I don't want you finding this woman and hearing what really happened.
Do you know what's so funny about it as well is that he had nothing on the page and I had looked. So I wanted to be like, hey, I've already tried to investigate this. But that's so true. He probably didn't want me to have... Because he'd always be like my ex. He'd never, which is weird because even with Leland, I'll just say the person's name because it's like, fine. I mean, when we were first dating with Leland, I told him not to say his ex's name because I didn't want to creep in stock just because I really didn't want to compare myself. So at the time with him, I was really happy he never said her name because I would never want to, because I can help it. But he talked about her so much. I did look on his page and there was nothing. It was completely like erased. So that's such a good point. I never thought about that he... obviously didn't want me to look her up. That's hilarious. And she lived in New York as well.
There you go.
But anyway, bygones that guy, because what does bygones mean? Like goodbye?
Maybe. I think it's one of those phrases. Maybe it means nothing, but we're all saying
like,
it.
I hope I'm saying it right. But yeah, because he was really not super great in the head because he was just really obsessed with himself. And he told me like, oh, you know, if people in my county... I don't know why suicide comes up a lot with me, with men. And it's such a, for anybody like who's ever experienced it or whatever, you know, it's such a horrific thing. And I've been there with like being really depressed and stuff like that. So I'm really happy that I went to therapy, got, you know, all the help I needed. But I have had like a couple of men bring it up as well. But this guy brought it up, but it was in such a strange way because he was really upset about Trump. And he was like, if my county votes for Trump, you know, I'm going to like, kill myself so they can see how bad of a, I know it was very, and it, like also I grew up with someone who would threaten to do that all the time. So it was a little triggering for me, but also it was a blue state. It was Connecticut. So I was like, what a strange thing because they're never going to vote for Trump. You don't even have to worry about that. But also I don't think that Trump is going to go, oh, this kid in Connecticut, like when he's doing all these terrible things, it was just a strange, like, that was kind of when I kind of was like, oh, this is a strange like dot to connect. Like, A, you think this is okay to say. Mm. B, he seemed kind of like he was very in his, like, this would be a good idea. And I was like, this is a lot because, no, they didn't. They voted blue, so it was fine. And he would do things like that that were kind of like I dressed up as Ariana Grande for Halloween once, which I'd done 3 times before I knew him. So I have photos on my Instagram of doing it. And it's just because my hair is long. It's an easy Halloween outfit. But like, he came out with me and my friends and he turned around and he was like, did you just do this because I look like Pete Davidson? Were you just trying to do a couple's outfit without telling me? And I was like, this is like levels of thinking that I'm not even in that plane, you know?
But also, why be mad about that?
I know. Like, why didn't we do that?
That's
I didn't
cute.
Think of, I had to pull out my Instagram and be like, look, I did it last year. I did it the year before. And then I was like, oh, this is like way too much work. I did get rid of him. And then a week later, he sent me a present, which was, and I didn't see, it was an Amazon gift. So I didn't see like who it was from. And I thought it was from this guy on Instagram who sends me stuff all the time as a thank you for all the free content.
Oh.
And I texted him being like, thank you so much. The gift is so sweet. And he was like, oh, you're so welcome. But he had already sent me something else. So for like a couple of days, I'm saying thank you to this other guy. And then he was like, send me a picture. When I sent him a picture, he was like, oh, I didn't send you that. And I'm like, who the fuck sent me this? But it was like, you know, the Chinese cat, the one with the wavy hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a joke about it where I'm like, was that nice? Or was he like, bye, bitch, you know? But it was mean of him to send that because we walked by one day and I had said, oh, when I get money, because it's about prosperity and wealth and it's meant to, or is it? I think maybe it's about good luck, about a fire or something. Anyway, but I was like, when I'm successful, I'm going to treat myself to one of them as like a little like milestone. And then he sent me that after I broke up with him. And he was trying to be like, look.
Side note, I love that being like, it's for good luck and prosperity. I'm going to wait till I'm rich, then I'll buy it.
I know, as I'm saying, I'm like, but it was like one of those things, you know, where you're like, oh, that'll be like, I like doing these little milestones or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so then when he sent that to me, it was like, and he texted me being like, see, I do listen. And I was like, no, you don't. Because I said this was something I want to get myself one day. You motherfucker, as they say over here. But yeah, I'm glad I broke it off with him.
What a time. You really know how to find them. And
yeah, but now I have a great boyfriend, so it's fine. I was like, am I the problem?
This show might be called Dating Games. I'm glad you're out of the game.
You know.
As much as New York seemed to really love you, I love the sound of Leland. And to transition onto a different kind of finding, when we chatted before, we talked a bit about kind of finding your way past shame around sex, and that's become a big part of your platform with your own podcast. Would you mind sharing a bit about, and I know something you've talked about a lot lately is sex positivity and what it was like finding that?
I would say, like, I'm still like learning a lot and growing with it. And New York is so sex positive. I live in Chelsea now, which is amazing. But like, you'd walk down the street and every second store is a sex store in Chelsea, which is just like so fun because it's like, I'd never have saw that back home. But definitely like moving here, learning to masturbate. And there's still times as well, like where I get in my head about orgasming. And I don't even have to say that properly. When it's like every single woman struggles with orgasming, it's like, you know, so like when men are feeling bad about that, don't, because women find their body late usually. And even then they have to find out how to make themselves orgasm alone and then how to orgasm with a partner. And it's really, really hard. Like I'll still, even the other night, I was like just stressed out about stuff. So like we'll take regular life into the bedroom. So I had to be like, there's this Kate Scholer girl. She's a hypnotist and she'll say like, you have to recenter yourself. So like, grab the sheets. Look at this. This is a sheet. Like you just have to sort of like take yourself out of your head to be able to relax. So it's like a whole bloody scientist experiment and mental gymnastics. So, but yeah, with the sex positivity, it's great. But I also think it's like, you learn about all this stuff. You learn about different, like what people are into, you know, sexuality, all that stuff coming to New York because it's in your face the whole time and people are open with it and you do comedy, people are talking about it. And so all of a sudden there's all these things that you could be into. And, you know, I went to a sex club once just for the podcast. That was fun. Not for me yet, but who knows in the future? That's the other thing too. We're so set on like, I'm this now, but you don't know. And I feel like that too with sexuality too. It's like, yeah, you might be straight now. You don't know in a few years what's going to happen. Who's going to walk into your life? Like, or, you know, I have a friend who says she's pan now. Over years of kind of like being with men, and then she started being with women, and then she was like, am I bi? But then she was like, oh, I'm actually just really attracted to people's energies. I think that's what that means, and personality. Yeah.
It's very interesting to me as well, because again, this is something that people tell me a lot about, and I think it's because I don't have a set sexuality label. Who I'm attracted to is very broad, and so maybe people then assume they can tell me stuff, which is nice, and they absolutely can. And so I end up being the person that everyone's like, oh yeah, I did do something with a guy once, or like I did have a lesbian experience. And it's this kind of like secretive thing. And I really hope we get to a point where that is more open. And then everyone, even that identifies as straight, can look around the room and be like, oh, everyone's definition of it is kind of wavy. And we've all kind of had experiences or had crushes here and there. And that doesn't ultimately define who you are. You know, I think that's going to be a really exciting place to get to, where people can go out and experiment as a chill thing, and maybe something that confirms your sexuality, as opposed to something that people, you know, there's that fear of, oh, well, is that going to compromise my identity if people know about that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It should be at a place where it's just like, no one cares, you know, where it's not like gossip, but you know what I mean? For yourself and for other, like it's where it's not where you're like, oh, I don't want people to hear because I don't want to be the topic of that WhatsApp group. Or even for yourself, where it's like where you're like, oh, I kissed a girl, so now I'm definitely bi. And then you're putting yourself in that box where you very well could be. But it's also like, what do all these things mean? For me, I'm just like, oh, there's so many boxes and labels people have to put themselves into, where it should be just kind of like, whatever, you know, you do what you do. And the only thing time it should matter is when you're in a relationship. That's when it's like important to have those discussions. But other than that, I'm kind of like, whatever, like it's grand, do what you want. That for me. And learning about like different types of sex too, like that it's not just penis and vagina. For me anyway, being, I think, straight. You see, even now I'm going to have an identity crisis on the podcast because I'm not attracted to a lot of people. So that's my thing. But I have been attracted to two women, and I have been attracted to men. But like, even now with like being in a relationship or whatever, the thought of another guy, I get really like, I'm attracted to one person. I can't really be attracted to anybody else until that ends. So definitely very monogamous. But yeah, different types of sex too, which has been a lot of fun. Like that it's not just like, my boyfriend's super open and he's shared stuff with me that like my internalized misogyny when we were first dating was like, oh my God, is he going to like leave me for a man one day? Do you know what I mean? But it's like, no, he's just very sexuality as a spectrum. You know, I've learned a lot from him. And he's very open to things in the future that I've been like, I don't know if I'll be open to that. And he's like, that's fine too. If you're not, you know, it's okay to be fantasy. And I think women get scared too, maybe when they date men who are, now I'm not saying my boyfriend's bi, but he's definitely more open than any man I've dated before. But I think women get scared too, because you're like, oh my God, am I not going to be able to satisfy this part of them, let's say. But Ian Finance was talking about it on his podcast and my podcast, and it was really good because he was like, I'm bi, but that doesn't mean, if I'm with a woman and she wants to be monogamous, it doesn't mean I'm like feeling sad that I'm not getting to be with a man. And secondly, it's like when you watch movies and there's like these crazy car crashes, we're not afterwards going, I need to go on these crazy car rides or whatever. It's like, okay, I can get that from porn and keep it as a fantasy. So I think that's a great thing to learn. Like when your partner says like, oh, one day I'd like a threesome, or, but it's okay if not, then don't be keeping in your head like, oh, because it is okay to keep it as fantasy as well. So that was a fun thing to like learn along the way, like to be open, but then not internalize it and project it into an insecurity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, definitely. And it's so good to hear you've been able to acknowledge that and overcome it with Leland, because I think that's absolutely very common. And, you know, again, it can be socialized where women are still so often raised with this idea of competing with each other for men. You're stepping outside of that very kind of narrow mindset we might have been brought up with, then it can be scary, because you're going to take that as, oh, so now I've got to compete with the men as well. It's like, no, like if you're in a monogamous relationship, it's up to them to stick to that agreement. That's their shit. But you're right. So often we can be like, oh, but I need to be everything to this person.
Yeah. And I think Esther Perel talks about that as well. I was just saying this to my best friend, because one of my best friends, but you know, like about what we want in a partner, we expect nowadays for them to be your best friend, your best sex, your best everything. And I think it's like really good to be like, I mean, for me, I'm always going to just get sex from my partner. But, you know, it's also like, okay to have like, I'll go to Tori about certain problems. Do you know what I mean? Like if he can't, there's lots of stuff sometimes, like he's amazing, but sometimes he's like, I can't fucking listen to this anymore. I've got the mental space. Whereas someone like Tori, who's like, yes, tell me every detail. Tell me, you know, what they said at 2:42. And then I get to like vent it out, and it's, you know what I mean? Whereas he's like, I can't even follow this story. So it's like, that's okay.
Well, this is it. You need these different influences in your life, right? Like I love the people in my life that will jump onto my emotion immediately and we'll have a rant together about someone they don't even know. But I also really value people that are very chill and are like, okay, so what's the problem? You know, that like some of the shit I'm going through, they're like, but it sounds like you're fine. And I'm like, sometimes that's what I need as well.
Very grounding. They're like, it's fine.
To remind me that not everything's an emergency.
Yeah.
Looking at the time here, we do need to start wrapping up. So as you're a repeat guest, we have a new thing we're trying out where you get to throw something in the bin. So something in dating or relationships you want gone for good.
I know what it is. And I will just say with the other stuff, with the sex stuff, is that it was really nice to try and be open to stuff. So for anybody listening, like we did massage sex, we tried loads of stuff. And if you're not comfortable with stuff, like I'm not comfortable with choking. So knowing like I don't have to do that just because it's like popular right now. So yes, so just with the sex positivity, you can be sex positive, but that doesn't mean you have to fucking do everything as well. But okay, get rid of dating. I would say I see a lot of TikToks lately from young people complaining that he's not texting back fast enough. I actually think that's really toxic because I don't think anybody should have to text back at a certain time. And I think a lot of people put too much energy on a person when they're first dating them, you know, like he's not texting back at this certain time or he's not doing this or whatever. And I don't think that's like, because it's like, if it's a couple of hours, it's grand. They'll text the next day. Or I've had girlfriends here like get mad at me because they've seen I've been online, but I use Instagram to work or whatever. And they're like, "What? Text me then. Why aren't you replying to my message?" And I'm like, you're owed my immediate response. I have a life of other shit going on. And just because I felt like that from a friend, then when I saw a couple of these TikTok trends, like, let's see how long it takes him to text back. And it was like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And I'm like, this is really toxic because the whole point of texting is they don't have to text back straight away. And a lot of time, like I know when I was dating Leland, he took a really long time to open up. And he's like the healthiest partner I've ever had. He's the best crack. He's so much fun. But actually, because he's a normal, nice guy, he never texted a lot when we first started dating because he doesn't have those things. There's not a lot for him to say. It took a while before we could build up those like things to talk about or like stories because we didn't have stories straight away, do you know? Or he took a while to share with me. The text messages would be just like, you know, when am I going to see it? If a guy is nonstop texting you from the start all about their stuff, usually I'm like, that's a red flag. And then we've nothing to talk about on the date. So anyway, that I think expecting people to text back straight away or even within a day or two, like calm down. And like one TikTok I saw, he was just like, she was like, she had said good night. And then she was like, let's see how long it takes to text back. And I was like, and everybody's like, yeah, girl. And I'm like, no, this poor man, he's living his life. Even if you're a girlfriend, boyfriend, I could go away for a weekend and I forget to text Leland for 2 nights. But he's grand. He knows. He knows if something's going to happen. Like usually I'll text goodnight, love you. But like, yeah, I just think letting people have their life. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think we're getting all a bit toxic. That's my two cents. If they don't text back straight away, doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean get rid of them. They might just be living a life. Now, if this is going on for months and you're not a girlfriend or whatever, that's a different story. But
I love this.
Or boyfriend.
No, okay. I so agree. I think there's a lot of that TikTokery happening where, yeah, people are like, well, this means this. And I mean, I see it a lot in the mental health work that I do. Pseudo therapists go on and they're like, well, if he does this, then that means that. It's like, there's a million factors here. We can't just go out giving like blanket advice. Nothing is that definitive and straightforward. And I agree. Like something I'll have to remind myself to do all the time is like, just because you want this person to text you back the most, you know, if you're in that initial butterfly stage and that's the name you're hoping pops up with each message, that's all about you. There's no actual logic to that. And so sometimes you're like, okay, well, how quickly do my mates message me back? How quickly do I message them back? Are they still good dynamics? Yeah. You can absolutely have so many healthy relationships with people which don't involve constant messaging. I had someone that used to get mad at me when we were like, we'd gone on a few dates. It was only that. We never ended up together or anything. And they would get mad at me if I didn't text them back immediately. And a few times it happened while I was recording podcast episodes. And literally, I just had to joke at one point. I was like, I don't know what to tell you because I'll have to read them out on air just to turn it into content. We can't just get the guests to sit there and wait for me to reply to you. I'm a slow typer. And then they were like, oh yeah, actually. Do you know what I mean? I had to make up a scenario to prove that this is ridiculous.
It's so entitled as well. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Also then as well, like, it's nice to build up a little bit of like exciting mystery to see them. Yeah. If you're just constantly in each other's ear, no, that's so entitled that you should write back right now and tell me, yeah, no, I can't. That's it also gives the person a lot of anxiety. Like I had with my friend, we're in our bloody 30s. I had to tell her recently, I was like, I can't, I need a bit of space because I'm getting anxiety now opening up my Instagram because I'm afraid that I'm not going to reply quick enough. And like, I'm putting too much focus on your life. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. That's not, because I was getting capital messages. I see you're online, reply, this is important. But it was all about, like, I'm like, a therapist gives you an hour a week and they're getting paid. I can't. So like this whole thing, if you have to reply now and you need to be on my, and that also links in with best thing I ever did in my relationship was not go to my friends for advice about Leland. So when we first started dating, because your friends always have your back, you know, and they're only hearing your side. So if there was an issue, I would just sit down and talk to him about it instead of going to listen to, you know, my
five different friend groups. This is, no one's ever said this. And I love that you have, because absolutely friends can be such a great form of support. But even just recently, two mates of mine, they've both been telling me all about the trials and tribulations of their very early stage relationship. And it took me a little bit of time to realize that they weren't telling either of each other any of this. So it got to the point where I knew so clearly, I could so articulate what was going on, and neither of them had an idea what the other one was feeling. And I literally had to like go between and be like, communicate,
yeah.
Go have a date. One of them even invited me on the date. I'm like, no, talk to each other. Yeah, they're both 19. I know them through work. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that is, it can be a younger thing for sure. And then you get excited. You're like, yeah, fuck this guy, because you've all dissected a fucking text message.
So we'll wrap up there. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.